If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 637. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about roller coasters, water rides, and a volcano, King Kong, Minions, and the Wizarding World of Harry Potter as we go to Universal Orlando Resort. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Universal. I'd like to welcome the show Eric Stowen from TravelBabo.com. That's BABBO.com. And Eric has come to talk to us about Universal Orlando Resort. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Chris.
And Eric and I have both been on the blog squad for Universal, so let's do the the disclosure up front there. Eric was on the blog squad in 2017, and I was this year, which it does mean we've gotten a sponsorship from Universal, but we've also, that means, spent a fair amount of time there here over the last couple of years between us. I've done 4 trips there, and you've done how many?
Wow, I'm probably up to 8 or 9 the last 6 years, so well before my blog squad duties, I was flying cross-country with my kids. And that's why I wanted to partner with Universal, just because it was our favorite park anyway, or anywhere. We live in California, and it's all the way over in Florida, but we just love it. My kids have always loved it.
You see, I've only done 2 before I was there, 1 in December, just before it happened. So that one was ill-timed in some ways, although it did get me there for December's, and we'll talk about holiday festivities and times of years to go later on. But Eric, welcome. You say it's your favorite park, but we're actually talking about 3 parks and, what, 6 hotels now, soon to be 7, and a downtown area, all in Orlando, Florida.
Yes, it's basically referred to as Universal Orlando Resort, but you have Universal City Walk there. You have the 3 parks, which are Universal Studios, Florida. You have Islands of Adventure, and then the newest is the Volcano Bay Water Theme Park. And then, like you said, there's 6 on-site hotels. In the next year, what, soon to be 7 or 8?
I have not stayed in 1 or 2 of the on-site hotels, but I've stayed in the rest. I think I've stayed in 4 of them right now.
I have stayed in all of them except for Aventura. That just opened August 15th, I believe, of this year. And we were there at the end of August, but they were full already. But I've stayed in the other 5.
Well, and as you bring a parent's perspective to this, your kids are how old?
Right now they are 8, 11, and 12.
Excellent. You're going to Universal. What should you do first?
First, I'd plan dates around when it is smart to go. For me, it's always been, I mean, it's the same thing with Disney. Go off-season and midweek. Try to stay away from June, July, August, and President's Day weekend, etc. If you have flexibility in your school schedule, if you have slightly different vacations than others, you're going to have a better experience if you can visit when not everybody else in the world is visiting. We, I think 4 years in a row now, have visited at the very end of August, and it's worked out perfectly because Florida schools are all back in session.
Oh,
at that point.
Okay.
We are not yet in session until after Labor Day. And so really, it has not gotten crowded, even though it's still technically August, still technically summer.
Excellent. And well, I've done visits last year in early December, so before the middle of the month, because I don't have kids in school. And that actually was a great time to go because the park attendance is still very low because people haven't gotten out for the break yet. And yet the park is decorated for the holiday. Did another trip in January, the Harry Potter weekend, and actually the park wasn't all that busy. I mean, considering that it was a great event that was going on, it didn't seem like the park was overly crowded. It wasn't as bad as it is in the summertime then. And that was actually, if you're a big fan of Harry Potter, that was a great time to go. Just to walk around and see the people wearing these elaborate costumes they've worked on for 2 years and to hear some of the talks and see the people doing chalk art for Harry Potter and showing off the new games and stuff. That actually was a pretty cool time to go. But the disadvantage with both those times is it's a little cooler in terms of doing the water park or in doing some of the water rides.
Yep, and I've been there in January, and yes, it was quite cold, and so that's a good point. So I would say basically just like anywhere else, shoulder seasons are optimal. You have April and May, other than maybe spring break, depending on when your spring break falls in March or April. September, October are just perfect weather-wise, crowd-wise. I have found when I've been there in mid to late May that you get a lot of Orlando school groups, end-of-year kind of trips going on.
Oh, interesting.
Not a big deal. Like you said, the parks still aren't super crowded or anything. What I found is, and we can get to this later, but you have your single rider lines, and those go a lot slower when you have all the school groups because there aren't that many spots to jump in on because all the students are just kind of maxing out every one of the rides. And I had to wait forever at one point. So that's the funny thing about May, I found. Otherwise, look at the weather schedule. But yeah, March, April, May, and September, October, November, you're probably going to get good weather and you're not going to get the crowds.
Yeah, when I spent a couple days there in May of this year, but I think it was probably earlier in the month. Didn't see the school groups. Had an amazing day at Volcano Bay. That was the first time I went to that park, and great weather for it at that point. Okay, so we've picked our time. This is going to sound like an ad, but there really are advantages in staying on site. And I think before you decide not to, you really should look at the price, because there are some benefits like early admission. If you do have to go sometime when it's busy, that early admission is going to be a savior in terms of making it so you can get into the park before it opens up for everybody else. I was at Volcano Bay in August when it was really, really crowded, and it wasn't when I got there. I got a locker, I rode all the rides I wanted to, and then basically by the time the park got busy, I was hanging out in the lazy river or something like that and didn't have to try and fight the crowds or get in line for anything.
Totally agree with you, and I think at this point, Universal has a wide range of hotels on the price spectrum.
Yeah.
So one way or another, definitely makes sense to stay on site. Some of the hotels have advantages that others don't, mainly the express passes, so that you can skip the lines and have a much shorter line at virtually all of the rides. I don't think Volcano Bay is doing express passes at this point, but the other two parks, virtually every ride, except I think the Pterodon Flyers, has an express pass line. And for something like the Despicable Me Minions ride, the ride can be 50 minutes to an hour, and the express pass line is usually 5 to 10 minutes. So you're saving a lot of time. You can always purchase those, and it's somewhere on the $70 to $80 range per ticket, but you get them free with three of the hotels. So the three higher-end hotels there, which are Portofino Bay, Royal Pacific, and the Hard Rock Hotel.
Right.
You're skipping the lines, plus you're on site. But then you have the three lower-priced hotels there, which are Aventura, Cabana Bay, and Sapphire Falls, and those still get you that same hour early admission to the parks. I think they alternate between Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios, but one way or another, especially for the Harry Potter rides, you can be there right when they open, and they usually open those gates a little before they actually post that they're going to open, so definitely line up early, whether you're showing up on time or for that hour of early admission. head back to the Harry Potter rides, figure out what rides you're going to want to do. And it's so nice to get there and have no lines and be able to go on them even multiple times before the park officially opens to the public.
Right. Well, and I would suggest that get the app, get the Universal app, and a day or two before you go, look at what the line length is at noon, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, or something like that. And that'll tell you which rides are going to have the longer lines. And when you do early admission, tackle those first.
Absolutely. And this may be something that we're going to cover at a later time, but we love early morning and we love evenings at the park, and we do not like the middle of the day. And so we'll generally go early, max out our morning, go on everything we want, go from park to park on the Hogwarts Express. And then when it starts getting hot, when it starts getting crowded, maybe 11:30 or whatever, we'll go out to the City Walk area for lunch. Then we'll head back to the hotel, maybe hit the pool for a few hours, then go back to the parks at 4 or 5. And usually we're walking against the crowd. Most people are leaving. We're going in. The lines are a lot lower. The temperature is better. It works out really well. And so, yeah, I totally agree with you on seeing what's crowded, depending on what your schedule's like and how much time you really want to spend in the parks. But we love taking that 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. off, doing other stuff, and still doing everything that we want in the parks over 2 or 3 days.
Well, and I think the trick to that is that if you've got a one-day ticket to the park, then you feel like you need to stay there and get the most out of it. And so if you are staying for multiple days, then you can feel like I can go back, or even when our kids were younger, go back and use the pool at the hotel or something like that, because they were fresher. Everybody just had a better experience when we tackled it that way, when you didn't try and push through necessarily. I also found, and we mentioned the Express Pass, I found when I was there with my wife in December, we were going to go 2 days. She found that with the Express Pass, we were faster enough that she actually then was there for a conference and said, well, I feel like I got a chance to do everything I wanted to on that one day. So it really almost doubled the number of rides, or maybe 50% more rides that she could do in a given day. And so that for her meant that she didn't have to do the park as long. And so the Express Pass, if you get that, you may actually find too that you can make a shorter trip. If you're going to do it for a shorter period of time, that can help you compress that without spending all the time in line. What else do we have in terms of general tips before we get into some of the fun stuff?
One other point that I want to make on the hotels is, by staying on site, all 6 hotels are walkable to the parks, or you have the water taxis, or you have bus service. So park once in at your hotel and you don't really need to be in your car again. One of our favorite things about staying at the Hard Rock Hotel is the closest hotel to the parks. And as you've seen down there, there's a lot of weather. There are a lot of lightning storms that move through. And when there's lightning, those water taxis stop operating. And so I've always liked the Hard Rock, because when those stop operating, you can be back at your hotel in 3 or 4 minutes or whatever, even if it's raining, just grab a quick poncho. And the other hotels, you might have to wait for a bus, or you're going to get a little bit wetter walking back. And I think if I had to pick one perfect hotel, again, depending on price range and everything else, it'd be Hard Rock, because you're getting the Express Passes. It's the closest one. And the pool is good for kids too. Basically, I would say choose a hotel based on your budget. And like Chris was saying, the value that you see in Express Passes, if you're going to be there 3 or 4 days, and maybe it's not worth as much, but if you're only going to be there one full day in the parks and you want those Express Passes, look at the value of the Express Pass, look at the price of the Express Pass, factor that into the hotel rates, and maybe one of those higher end hotels works out to be a lot cheaper, and it's a perfect choice because of the perks.
When we talked about the different costs of the hotels, the two cheapest ones right now are Cabana Bay and the Aventura, but the new one that they're opening up is going to be even lower in price, and so that'll be interesting to see. And I don't remember off the top of my head what the rates are, but it's affordable. It was actually surprising to me when they were talking about what that was going to be, especially off peak. Obviously, all the rates go up when there's more demand. It's it's the way capitalism works. Okay. Let's talk about your kids' favorite rides in the park.
Favorite rides, I think, are always Harry Potter. It's the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And just as some background, which I know you know, but there are basically two Wizarding World of Harry Potter areas, one at each of the parks, Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios Florida. You have Diagon Alley at Universal Studios, and you have Hogsmeade and Hogwarts Castle over at Islands of Adventure. And they have the Hogwarts Express The Hogwarts Express train runs between, and in order to do that, you need a two-park pass. So you need a ticket that has access to both parks on the same day, which definitely increases the prices, but it's worth it. You can see a lot more, especially with express passes. But we love those Harry Potter areas from morning to night. We're not there constantly, but there's so much to do. There are the rides. They're building the new large roller coaster
right
over at Hogsmeade that should be open, I think, in 2019 at some point. But you have Escape from Gringotts. You have Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. The Hippogriff Challenge is just a small little kid roller coaster right by Hogwarts Castle. And that's probably my kid's favorite ride any of the parks. We'll go on that over and over and over again, which for me isn't as much fun. But my older daughter there, she can take my younger kids, and then I can kind of sit out, which is a nice break. Yeah, so we love those. I think beyond Harry Potter and the Hogwarts Express.
Let's finish doing a little bit with the Harry Potter. So, because this is the reason why we went, for instance, in December, is we had been before to Universal, but we hadn't been to the Harry Potter. So there are definitely a few people out there like us who haven't done that yet. So you mentioned spending time there not on the rides. And we need to tell people what you were doing. You weren't just watching people take the rides.
If you've read the Harry Potter books, if you have seen the movies, it's well, quite literally, it's a magical world. And they bring it to life. And with J.K. Rowling, they designed these to be absolutely true to the movies, true to the books. You feel like you are in that magical world. They have the stores that are talked about in the books. They have...
like the wand store, like Ollivander's wand store, yep.
Magic wand. They have static wands, and they have interactive wands. And with the interactive wands, there are wand stations throughout both of the parks, the Harry Potter areas, where you can make things happen by swiping your wand in a certain way. There is food over there, so they have restaurants themed to the books. They have butterbeer, which is one of our favorites.
Okay.
Especially at the holidays when they have hot butterbeer.
Okay, I was going to say, there is cold butterbeer, there is frozen butterbeer, and there is hot butterbeer. Hot butterbeer is your favorite.
Yes, especially if I walk over to Starbucks and put a shot of espresso in it, it's even better. But absolutely, I love the hot butter beer.
I would go with the hot butter beer without the espresso. Okay.
You have stores over there. You have shopping. It's fun to go through the magic shop, through the candy store, Honey Dukes, those types of things. So yes, it's rides. It's simply being a part of that world. It's the wand stations. You can eat over there if you want.
There's some performances that happen as well. Yeah. You also mentioned the Hogwarts Express, and I don't think that I had picked up before I went recently that that was a ride, in the sense that not just a means of transportation, but that it is a moving dark ride, in the sense that there is a show going on inside your cabin as you're in this train, in different in both directions. And I don't feel that that word has gotten out that you can get to the park the long way and walk around. Not only are you missing that ride, but you are missing what is going on that ride. And I think the direction from Diagon Alley to Hogwarts is probably my favorite of the two directions. But hey, that is a matter of opinion.
I would agree, simply because, yeah, they stay true to the books. And so you're basically leaving from King's Cross Station and Platform 9 3/4, and you are going to Hogwarts for the first time. And so you're in the train compartment. You're seeing what seem to be figures out the door, Hermione and Ron and Harry walking by.
Right.
You're sensing Dementors.
ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken,
pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to butcherbox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Seeing Hagrid out the window as he's flying along with the train on his motorcycle towards Hogwarts. And then, like you said, it's different going back. And so the other one is at the end of the school year, you're leaving from Hogwarts, you're going back to London and King's Cross Station. And so it's the reverse journey. It's seeing the friends. It's a happier type thing, but it's simpler. I agree with you that I think I like going to Hogwarts better, just because it kind of really gets you in the frame of mind for that magical world.
The premier rides in both sections, probably my favorite of all the rides in all the parks, would be the Escape from Gringotts, which I think is technology-wise one of the newest, most amazing technologies, where they're really combining the movie with the original characters from the film with a real roller coaster ride, and it's stunning. I think that is really my favorite ride and my favorite ride at a theme park right now, at least. I think it's state-of-the-art.
I don't disagree at all. I think I would probably choose the Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey over that slightly, but just because I've been on it more. It was open for several years before Diagon Alley opened, and so I partially there's a spot in my heart for it. My kids like it a little bit more, but they're both just amazing rides and really do. They interject you into that world in a really cool way.
Okay, and then you started to hit us out of Harry Potter to The Mummy. So a dark roller coaster ride with fire.
Exactly. Mummy is fun. It's short. It's obviously a movie that came out a long time ago, the Brendan Fraser version of it. But it's a dark roller coaster where a lot of the time you don't know which direction you're going to be going. It's a fairly short ride, especially with express passes, though. There really aren't long lines for it, and we love doing it over and over and over again.
So we mentioned roller coasters, and there are a number in the park, and I'd say from real roller coaster fans, as in way too tough for me, like the Incredible Hulk and Rip Ride Rocket, which has that Rip Ride Rocket, I will be honest, I have chickened out on because the Hulk roller coaster ride made me the same color of green that the ride is painted.
And it did for my daughter, too. My 12-year-old last time, I think she was 11, and she went on that by herself, and she thought that she liked roller coasters, and she did not enjoy the Hulk. I've enjoyed it. I really liked Rip Ride Rocket when I did it. My kids have opted out of that one, and I think, in general, they've decided that they're not roller coaster fans other than the small Hippogriff Challenge by Hogwarts.
Or they're not roller coaster fans yet, because I think this really is a teen and adult level roller coaster ride. I mean, it's a serious roller coaster fan ride. If you are a fan of roller coasters, take those curves at incredible speeds, both those rides, I think, are really great for that. But then they do have the ones that are a little more tame for your kids and for me, honestly.
Agreed.
Excellent. Other rides, your kids' favorites first.
I mentioned it before, but the Despicable Me Minions ride. Adorable. I forget the exact name.
Yeah.
It's right inside the gates when you're at...
It's Universal Florida.
So it's over at Universal Studios Florida, right inside the gates. We always love that one. Dudley Do-Right Falls is a log ride.
That's an Islands Adventure. All the Get You Wet rides, well, besides the water park, which we'll talk about a little later. I think that's almost a separate conversation. All the three can really get you wet rides are at Islands of Adventure, and they are Dudley Do-Right, which is a traditional log flume, a pretty long ride. I was surprised that it had as much to it because you can't see as much from the walkways. And then also Jurassic Park, which is another classic. That one doesn't, I think, get you always as wet. Some people will get wet and not everybody will get as wet. And then actually of the three water rides, I prefer Popeye's Bilgewater Barge ride. I think that one's a lot more fun because, in part, because you don't know who's going to get wet because it's a 8-person raft that is spinning around and people are spraying water at you from the bottom. And I just think there's more, for me, there's more on that ride. But all three of those, you do them when you're in the heat of the day and want to cool off, or you brought the poncho, or you just don't mind getting wet.
I don't think we've done Popeye with the kids.
Oh, your kids will love Popeye, especially when it spins so that you're the one who gets the waterfall. If you're going on to the park solo, which I've done a couple times now, actually, I think it's a great ride to go as a solo rider because part of the disadvantage of going solo, the advantage is you get to do all the rides that you like, right? You don't have to do the rides that anybody else likes. But the disadvantage is that you don't have that, we're enjoying this experience together. When you do that ride, you're sitting there looking at each other and wondering who's going to get wet next. And even if you don't speak the same language, you're having a fun communal experience. So it is a fun thing to do, I think, in groups, especially groups you know, but it doesn't really matter. Whoever you go on that ride with, you're going to bond with. So it's a fun ride. Even if you don't remember Popeye, it really doesn't matter.
Okay, very cool.
Excellent. Any other kid favorite rides?
Overall, like I was just there again with my 8-year-old daughter, and really she wanted to spend most of her time in Harry Potter or doing the Minions ride. I think we did the Dudley Do-Right once. Otherwise, no, not a lot of other favorites. They love the parks. They love being in the parks and everything about it. But I think they definitely gravitate towards Harry Potter.
And then back in the original park, Universal Studios Florida, there are three different kids play areas or three different kids themed areas back behind ET. And what are those?
You have Curious George Goes to Town, Barney's Backyard, and then Fievel's Playland.
And Curious George is a water play area. So on a hot day, that one can be a lot of fun. There's different themed area with water coming out, squirting all over the place. So that one kids were enjoying on a hot day. Fievel's is a small coaster. Kind of fun. There's a play area there as well. Cool. Yeah, but that'd be more for smaller kids, not the age of your kids, and not the age of you and I probably as much.
Correct. But in general, I think Universal skews towards an older age group than Disney does. But if you have a mixed group of kids and you're talking about everyone from 3 or 4 to teenagers, there are those areas where the little kids are going to be happy. Then obviously you have the coasters and everything for the bigger kids.
Talking about older, your favorite ride?
I like Harry Potter too. I love the premier Harry Potter rides. Again, I like the Mummy. I think you and I were both there for the grand opening of Fast and Furious Supercharged, which was well done. I like almost everything over at Volcano Bay. We haven't talked much about it yet, but there are some really fun, unique rides over there that I haven't really experienced before at water theme parks, and I love them, and my kids love them.
Well, let's hold off that just a little while later. Yeah, a couple of rides that I want to mention. You mentioned the Fast and Furious. Fast and Furious, I thought, was okay. I think of the rides that are of that style, so that's the style where you're in a bus and there's a show going on around you and you're in the middle of a Fast and Furious movie. I like the King Kong ride better of those. It's very similar, but that one I think is great fun in terms of riding through and dinosaurs are attacking the tram and Kong is saving you and such. Of the two, I think there's a little more range of motion there, a little more interesting plot. So I'd skew to that one if you had a choice between the two. Yeah, Despicable Me is the most laugh-out-loud one. I honestly like the Shrek 4D, which that one is a little older. I don't know how much longer that's going to be in the park, but I think that one and the Simpson one are actually fun. I enjoy those a fair amount. And MIB, just because I'm competitive, and that is a interactive shooting, competing against the people in your cart sort of thing. That appeals to me in that way.
Yeah, and I wasn't even thinking about all of those. I would agree completely with everything you just said. We really enjoy the Men in Black ride. We enjoy the Simpsons. Yeah, and Skull Island. I agree. I do like that better than Fast and Furious. It's really well done. Even the queue, even if you're stuck in line and you're not doing the Express Pass, it's a fun line and it's interactive. And there's some elements there that I hadn't seen before in longer queues.
And I think that one just opened up last year.
Skull Island, it's been open at least 2 years now.
2 years? Okay. It relatively recently. I couldn't think of when that one opened. And I'd have to say of those, the Transformers one is probably not my favorite, just in terms of the plot in there. I'd rather do Spider-Man over in Islands of Adventure.
Spider-Man is fun, and total disclosure here, even though we have been to Universal Orlando a lot, we have never done Shrek and we have never done Transformers, so I can't speak to those at all.
I understand. Everybody has their favorite. Okay, let's get to that other theme park, because honestly, if I had to choose my favorite of the three parks, I might choose Volcano Bay. And that's not necessarily the one where most people go or most people have heard of, but I love a water park, and Volcano Bay is a great one.
The only negative is that it can get very crowded, especially during the summer months or weekends. But absolutely, if you're there midweek or when it's not crowded, it's really fun. I agree completely. It's well done. There are elements there for all age ranges, and we always have fun.
If you are there, as we said, in the summer when it's crowded, you should take advantage of the early entry. Again, no express pass there, but take advantage of the early entry. And I would say if you want to spend a lot of time at there, Cabana Bay is walking distance. It is just really off the parking lot for Cabana Bay. And that's a great hotel for staying there. And then if it gets too crowded, go back and use the Lazy River at Cabana Bay and take a break, especially with younger kids. So you mentioned a couple rides there that you have not seen.
Before you move on, we stayed at Sapphire Falls in August after Aventura had opened.
Yep.
And there is now a super fast way to get to Volcano Bay right around Aventura. It seemed to me there was almost faster even than Cabana Bay. So Cabana Bay is technically next door, but it's a big hotel. And depending on where your room is, all three of the lower priced hotels are less than a 5-minute walk to the gates of Volcano Bay, and it couldn't be easier. You just need a room key to be able to get in.
Interesting. Well, and that's a good point, because you can't take your stuff on, well, some of the rides, like the body slides, you can't take anything. They're going to give you a wrist tapu-tapu, which is basically going to get you on and off getting reservations for different rides. It's going to be tied to your park ticket. If you tie your park ticket to a credit card, you can actually use your Tapu Tapu to pay for meals and things like that while you're in the park. And if it's your kids doing it, you can put limits on what they can spend and things like that. But you may want to limit what you're going to bring to the park in the first place. So being able to get in with just your room key and things like that is good. You can get a locker or a cabana, which actually was a lot of fun when we did that. But the lockers will fill up early in the day, especially near the entrance of the park, and they do cost money. And so think about what you bring to the park, and you might want to minimize that.
Agree completely. I would think you want to bring towels. I think towels are rentable for $4.99 or so.
Yes. A lot of people think that they're going to get a towel there.
I would bring a beach bag. Bring a beach bag with sunscreen.
Yep.
A couple of towels in there. Maybe a book in case you want some downtime in the beachy area there while you're waiting to go on rides while your copy was counting down. Then you don't need a locker at all. You throw your stuff down on a chair.
Yep.
You can keep coming back there. I never bring a real camera, rarely. I usually bring my cell phone, and then I bring two Ziploc bags for it. I put it in two Ziploc bags in my swimsuit pocket, which I know girls don't generally have swimsuit pockets, but a lot of guys do in board shorts. And I'll go on any ride with that there. Then I can take pictures of my kids or wherever I want around the park. I'm not leaving anything valuable there in the beach bag, and it works out really well.
Well, and then some of the rides, you basically have just right outside places where you can put your sunglasses, your hat, your towel, or whatever, if you're carrying them with you, because you're not allowed to have them on the ride, depending on what the ride is. So just for the few moments that you're there. And some of the rides, like the body tube rides, you can't even have your glasses on. And bring a glasses strap in general for the other rides if you are somebody who uses prescription glasses or want to have your sunglasses on. Okay, you started to mention a while ago the rides there that have technology that you hadn't seen.
So I think probably my favorite ride at any of the parks is the Aqua Coaster at Volcano Bay, because it's so different. I mean, it's fun, but it's a very unique ride in that you feel like you're in a log ride. Like when you get in, you're basically entering a log ride and sitting down, but then it starts shooting you up slopes like a roller coaster would. You don't even know how it's happening, and I still don't fully understand the...
Oh, I love hearing people try and describe it, too, because the theories they come up with is, well, it's water jets that are pushing you up, and no, it's not. It's basically magnetics that are pulling you up, but it does it so fast. You accelerate uphill, and the first time you do it, you're like, "What? What's going on?" That is a very cool ride, because it's a lot longer than any other ride in the park, because it doesn't just have to use gravity.
It does. It's just fun. And my kids love it too. Even my youngest daughter, who does not like roller coasters, she wanted to keep going on it again and again and again as much as we could, given that the lines will form there.
That is definitely one of my fun rides. And then I also like the turtle rides, the five-person rafts. Everything is Hawaiian themed. We should say that. That's the reason why you're wearing a Tapu Tapu, for instance, on your wrist. So all of the different rides, we say the water coaster, but the water coaster has a Hawaiian name as well, whose name is escaping me. It is the Krakatoa Aqua Coaster. And then the other one that I like is the...
So you have the Hanu Ika Moana multi-person slides.
I think that may be the one that I'm thinking of.
Those are the blue and the green tubes where they basically send the rafts all the way up to the top for you. And you can choose the blue with the large area where you can fly up and you feel like you're going to fly over the road. The green has a shorter line typically.
Yep.
It doesn't have that same thrill aspect to it, but those are two of my favorites as well.
Well, and then the other one that surprised me, so there's a lazy river and those are fun. I wouldn't do this your first day. I'd do this after you've done a day or two, and especially in a hot weather in the park. It's a great relaxing day. You talked about bringing a book. This would be a great break from your theme park schedule because you can spend some time just hanging out or just in the lazy river. But the other river is the one that I like, the Fearless River.
Agree.
Tiawa, the Fearless River, which has some speed. You don't get in a tube. You just wear your life vest. You just wear a life vest, and this thing shoots you around, and you try and keep your feet pointing downriver. That's a lot of fun. I do that a couple times. I'll go around in that one. I was surprised by that one. That one really I hadn't seen before at a water park, but I like it.
I love the Fearless River, just like you do, and so I told my 8-year-old we should go on it and was skeptical that she would like it. She was game, so we got our life vests and hopped in. And she loved it. And I bet we went around 4 or 5 times before she had any desire to leave. And I would say you mentioned feet first, but it's just as much fun to go head first because you're not going to bump into anything. I mean, that river keeps you going and it keeps you away from other people. And you feel like you're flying. You put your arms out and keep your head up and it feels like you're flying.
Excellent. Well, and what I see in the park is even when it gets pretty crowded, some of the tube slides in the back, for instance, don't get all that busy. And so I found that even on a busy day that I could keep riding rides, I just needed to figure out which ones were the really busy rides and ride those first in the day, like the turtle ride or like the aqua coaster. Aqua coaster definitely gets a longer line later in the day.
You can go to every one of the rides and they have screens around the park too with the wait times. But a lot of the Tapu Tapu things where if there is a wait, it'll say, okay, tap now, and then you're basically in the virtual queue for 30 minutes or whatever,
yeah,
and it'll vibrate on your arm when it's time to go back over there and go on the ride without much of a wait. But there are a lot of them that, will be ride now. I don't remember if that was the Taniwa tubes or some of those tube rides towards the back that are usually open. And of course, the two rivers, the Lazy River and the Fearless River, are always just kind of first come, first serve. There is no Tapu Tapu for those. So you can generally always hop in those as long as there's life vest available. You could have downtime during the day. You could sit on the beach. You could just go in the wave pool, which is really fun for kids and adults alike. But there are generally going to be slides available any time of day, except maybe when you're talking about those President's Day weekend or Memorial Day weekend or something where it's probably just slammed.
Well, and you talk about the wave pool and the beach, and those are the same thing. Great big beach with a great big wave pool right in front of the volcano. And the volcano itself is just cool. Even if there weren't slides that go from the top for the real daredevils who want to do the body slides down, it really the scary rides, right? It's just cool to even walk in. You walk in and you see this thing, and it's awesome. And they just did such a great job on this particular park. Other tips that you would tell people, you remember bring a towel. That's a really important one. What else?
For Volcano Bay, take very little. Honestly, I'm not sure that this is official Volcano Bay policy. I'll walk around sometimes in bare feet and it can get a little bit hot. They have some spray jets coming out from some of the pathways where it keeps them cool. If you want to walk around in flip-flops, there are shoe stations at all of the rides. Mm-hmm. But I found that it works almost better to put your shoes at the exit of the ride instead of the entrance so that they're there when you come out and you want them. So it's not quite as clean a process because they have these nice racks set up by the little ticket areas or the Tapu Tapu areas at the beginning of each ride. But I generally leave my flip-flops over kind of on the curb where the ride is going to end so that I can just grab them again.
Well, and I wore water shoes, which I found really worked very well because I was able to keep them on in the rides. I think in all the rides I went on, I was able to keep my water shoes on. So that actually worked out very well as well. And then the food is actually pretty good in Volcano Bay. For theme park food, I think Universal in general, I enjoyed it. But Volcano Bay, I thought, had even some better food in some ways. So it definitely can be a whole day if you plan it that way.
Agree. I love the food at Volcano Bay. Jerk mac and cheese, I think, is my favorite.
Oh, I don't think I tried that. Oh.
Yeah, I would say, but throughout the Universal parks, with the possible exception of the Harry Potter areas, where I have always been kind of disappointed in the meals at the Three Broomsticks and the Leaky Cauldron.
Oh, I haven't eaten there. Okay.
Those are all about the theme, and we still eat there, and it's nice. I don't think the food is quite as interesting or as good as the other theme park restaurants, the City Walk restaurants, or especially Volcano Bay.
Well, and we haven't talked about City Walk. So yeah, City Walk, I think a lot of people are familiar with Universal City Walk, which they pioneered in California, I think, first.
Absolutely.
And that is a popular place to go to that you don't need an admission to the park to get to. It is inside the security area, so you can go from a park to City Walk to another park or back to City Walk all without going through security again. And so that is useful to know. So it's fairly easy. You still have to go through the tickets to get to there, but that's not that big a deal to get through the ticket kiosk. Definitely, I would buy your tickets ahead of time because you can avoid that line at the park, which can get long. There's just no reason to do that line. That's a waste of time. What else should we tell people?
So, yeah, one of my tips would be, I mentioned the lightning earlier, but Florida really does get a lot of storms, a lot of lightning storms in the afternoon. And yep, keep that in mind for Volcano Bay, for any of the parks, that there's a good chance rain is going to move through. And when there is lightning, the water taxis don't operate. Some of the rides will not operate, and they're not going to want you in some of those pools at Volcano Bay. I think definitely if you can go for several days, it's perfect. Universal, 2 days is good. 3 days is even better. You could spend 2 days just zigzagging back and forth between the two main parks. And then the third day, spend all day or show up in the morning and then go through two or three in the afternoon to Volcano Bay. And I think it's going to be a really good vacation for you. Yeah, show up early so that you don't get caught by the lightning. You don't want to wait all day and then go over to Volcano Bay at 4 p.m. or something and then not be able to do anything.
Well, and the lightning storm is more likely to be like around 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And so that is useful, to, as you say, to get there early. The other thing I want people to know about Volcano Bay is that if you have mobility problems, Volcano Bay could be a problem because there are a couple of the rides that are wheelchair accessible, but in general, you're climbing the stairs to the top of these water rides. The other thing about how many rides you're going to do during the day is how many stairs you want to climb. These park rides, except for the Aqua Coaster, are all gravity driven. And so you're the one who is providing the strength that you're going to get to the top of that tower. And so, you know, you may find that if you're there, for instance, early admission, and you can go as quick as you want through the various rides, that your legs may get a little tired. So that's just something people need to be aware of.
Great point. Yeah, same thing in the parks, though. There's just going to be a lot of walking. And yeah. I mean, some of our biggest walking days ever, 23, 25,000 steps, have been at Universal Orlando. Simply walking between the parks, going out to City Walk, maybe going back to our hotel or whatever. So definitely be prepared for a lot of walking.
Well, then I did want to talk about, we talked about a couple of things, the park being decorated for Christmas and then also being the Harry Potter event. There's also the park gets decorated for Mardi Gras, although well into past the Mardi Gras season. But Halloween is a really, really big thing. You mentioned that they target an older audience. I think Halloween is definitely targeting people who are wanting to get scared. It's really targeting teens and adults. In Universal Studios Florida, they turn a lot of the sound stages there into big haunted houses. Have you been?
Yes, I went 2 years ago, and I enjoyed it far more than I thought I would given that I don't watch a lot of horror movies. Yep. I had a lot of fun. We did have the advantage as a blog squad member. We were taken through a lot of the houses during the day.
Yep.
So we saw some of the scare zones. We saw the behind the scenes stuff. We were not able to take pictures or anything like that. We kind of had a feel for different things and where things were going to be coming from as you're walking through. But then that night with the other Blog Squad members, we went through every single one of the houses. And again, this was, I think, in 2016. And even knowing things, they were scary, but in a fun way. You're in a line, so you're seeing the people behind in front of you. For several people in front of you, you're kind of seeing that maybe somebody jumped out and somebody screamed and got scared. So you're prepared for that one, but you're not ready for the one that you haven't seen that maybe took place 2 minutes ago that comes out and gets you. At one of them, we left. We were totally walking out. You're out of that mindset. You're back in the park. And then somebody jumped out of a bush with a chainsaw and started chasing us, which I thought was just awesome. Like, you can't let down your guard. So yeah, Halloween Horror Nights was a lot of fun. I think in my blog post, I recommended not taking kids under maybe 13 or 14.
Just the therapy bills is what you're thinking of at that point.
Yeah. So
excellent. Any other tips that we have for Universal before we wrap this up?
I think you mentioned Christmas. Christmas is really fun. There's a new Macy's Christmas parade that takes place. They have now, for the last year or two, started decorating the Harry Potter areas for Christmas. That's the only time that you can get the hot butter beer. It's fun to go back at different times of the year. And I have not gone back for the Harry Potter celebration. I have not gone for Mardi Gras, but I've really enjoyed Christmas celebrations there. And like I said, generally we go at the end of August. You get a lot of British tourists because British schools haven't started yet, but otherwise it's a really good time to go. Overall advice, be prepared to walk and go for 3 days and stay on site. And I think you'll have a really good trip.
Excellent. And then you started to talk about the single rider line that in late May wasn't as good a trick, but it is a good trick the rest of the year. Tell us a little bit about the single rider line.
Exactly the same as if you were at a ski resort or anything else. Even if you're in a group of people, if you guys don't mind being separated on the ride, you can go into the single rider line. So generally there's the normal queue at any of the rides. There's the express pass line, and then there's the single rider line. And so you can go in the single rider line. It's going to be a lot shorter. And then every single car or whatever they have on that ride, if there are only three people and it's a ride made for four people in each little compartment or whatever, then they're going to throw you in. And so you're basically filling up all of the slots as they go. So it can be faster. I've never really tried to time. There's so many different variables. It would be hard to do a pure comparison of a single rider line versus the express pass line. At some points, I thought that the express pass line was a little bit shorter. The single rider line can be a great way to go if you're not dealing with school groups, if you're not dealing with the end of May.
Well, and I've seen where Escape from Gringotts, for instance, where the heat of the day, the line got to be an hour long and the single rider line was four people.
Wow. There you go.
So, you know, it was just a matter of minutes. And so it was a real, real time saver. Now, in that case, that line skips the pre-show. So I wouldn't necessarily do it your first time through, but it's nice for rewriting that attraction. And yep. It depends on the attraction. It has to be an attraction that has a place where they're going to seat three, four, five people, and they're trying to fill that up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Skull Island is another one
where exactly.
you miss out on a little bit if you do the Express Pass or the Single Rider line, because you don't get the full queue experience. Definitely Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. You get some of the Hogwarts tour, but it's different. The Express Pass line is very different from the normal line at Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journeys.
Yep.
It's definitely worth it. Skip the line when you can, but if you're torn and the line's not that long, yeah, go through the normal line on some of them and you'll experience it differently.
Exactly. The other thing I would say is ride lockers for some of the rides, especially at the two main parks, you can't bring things on like a purse or a backpack. And some of those rides will have a ride locker that you can put your stuff in for free for a half hour or something like that for a limited period of time. And then you're going to unlock that and lock that with a thumbprint or with a fingerprint. But what I would encourage you is remember when you come into the park, they're going to take your thumbprint. This is why you need to know what digit you used. So use your right thumb. There you go. Just decide to use your right thumb. If you're left-handed, you can use your left thumb. And then you don't have to remember, because I saw people standing in front of the lockers trying to remember what digit they had used and just standing there for a long time having trouble with it. So some of those little tips will save you a little time. I've got a blog post that I'll link to also. Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say only at Universal.
Probably the Minions ride. I think you said the same thing. It's funny every time.
You know, the one thing that I thought was funny is, so if you ever see somebody dressed in Harry Potter outfit and they're outside of the magical world of Harry Potter lands, then they are a fan. They are not somebody who works for Universal. They will never have one of their cast members wearing that costume outside of those two parks. And so, especially obviously on the Harry Potter weekend, but really anytime you'll see people doing that. I saw somebody who had their dog dressed up like Harry Potter with a little cape and the Thunderbolt or whatever, but she didn't want anybody to take pictures of it. I'm thinking, if you don't want people to take pictures of your dog, don't dress him like Harry Potter.
Seriously.
It's like, I don't know what she was thinking there, but anyway, it's actually fun to see this, some of the costumes that people come up with.
Absolutely.
If you had to summarize Universal Orlando Resort in three words, what three words would you use?
Fun.
Yep.
Magical.
Okay.
Easy.
Excellent. Why easy?
Not to compare it too much to Disney, but Disney, if you search for Disneyland hacks, there are so many websites dedicated to trying to maximize your time at Disney parks. And there are all these tricks that you have to use in order to try to keep your kids happy and all this stuff. And I've just never felt the need for that at Universal. I feel like you just kind of show up and you decide what you want to do. And if you have your express passes or whatever, you go and do it, and you don't have to make it this big spreadsheet type thing where you're trying to maximize every minute and be at the right place at the right time or anything else. I've always felt that, like, it's just easier.
Actually, when you say that, that reminds me of one thing we missed, and one thing that makes it a little like that is, so there's a light show at Hogwarts, and one of the big differences between that and the big Fantasmic show at Disney is it's a shorter show, and they do it multiple times, and so it's not something where you line up for hours ahead of time trying to get in a position to see this. So especially in the evening, I think that makes it really quite different in terms of an experience. I sort of appreciated that it didn't go on forever. I thought it was very fun. It has fireworks and all those sorts of things. And then you go walk away and other people come there and they see the show. And I don't know how many times they put it on in the evening, but multiple different times. And that was one of the things that I thought made it crowd management a little easier.
Absolutely. Leave the park at 4, go back to your hotel, go get dinner somewhere, come back to the park and go see Harry Potter or something, then go do a couple extra rides or whatever. Yeah, you definitely do not have to block hours out for it. Grab your spot on the curb 3 hours in advance, which you do. You see people doing that at Disney, and you just don't need to.
Well, and there is a light show now at Universal Florida.
I saw that they were Florida. Yeah. Going to be doing that, but I have not seen it yet.
I have. It's showing a lot of different films and things and fountains that are going on in the middle of the lagoon.
Yeah.
Also going on in the evening, obviously. Cool. Well, thanks so much. Our guest again has been Eric Stowen from TravelBabbo.com. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Eric, if we had to send people to your best Universal post, where are we going to send them?
Literally, if you go to TravelBabbo.com or even just Babbo.com, B-A-B-B-O.com, search for Universal, and I have one master post on Volcano Bay, and I have one master post on tips for Universal Orlando, where I talk through the different hotels and my advice for the parks. So it's going to be super easy to find if you just search for Universal.
Excellent. Well, we'll put links to those in the show notes as well, so that people don't even have to search. Eric, thank you so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your obvious love for Universal.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
As you're listening to this, I've just returned from Japan and from Botswana on safari. And I'm sure I had a great time, but I'm recording this a month ahead of time, so I can't tell you what happened, but hopefully you're following me on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and the like. You can find those links at amateurtraveler.com, or you're following me on the email list, and you'll hear all about that trip, and it'll make you so want to go to Botswana that you'll sign up for the Amateur Traveler trip in May of 2019 at amateurtraveler.com/Africa2019. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral.